Welcome to Watchman School of Prayer again. Hallelujah. Here we are, Watchman School of Prayer, and we are in class number 13. And that is not an unlucky number for those of you that are superstitious. There is no such thing in the things of God. Praise God. And this class is Advanced Intercession 2, and this is a class, a teaching on travail, which is a very, very powerful subject. Amen? You'll find that out tonight. Now, before we start, let's all say our scripture verse, Jeremiah 51, verse 12. So if we don't know it, here it is over here, Jeremiah 51, 12. And set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon, make the watch strong, set up the watchmen, and prepare the ambushes. And that's what we're doing. We're becoming the watchmen, and we're preparing the ambushes. Amen? Amen. Now, I just want to give you a very, very short review of the last couple of things in the last few classes that I feel is important that we remember as a foundation for what we're doing tonight. Now, of course, we know that what is an intercessor? An intercessor, very simply, I mean, I went into this in depth in classes before, is one who stands in the gap. It is one that has a position of identification with the need, compassion to meet the need, and authority. So as we become intercessors, those are the three areas that we must realize. We must identify with the need of what we're praying about. We have to have compassion about the need. And we have to have the authority of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, and His anointing. Amen? Now, we learned in the last couple of sessions of some very important scriptures. One was 1 Corinthians 14:10. These are all memorization scriptures. And it said that there is no sound that was without signification. That means there's no sound that we make in prayer that doesn't mean something. And we must remember that. And then based on that, we also must remember Hebrews 12:24, which is the blood of Jesus that speaks better things than that of Abel. What does the blood of Jesus speak? Dominion, power, and authority. So when we make the sounds and we make the prayers, our prayers are based on the finished work of the blood of Yeshua, the blood of Jesus on the cross, and what He did. And He has dominion, power, and authority. The sounds of themselves mean nothing. You know, we, our sounds, who we are, it means nothing. But it's important for us to understand that the sounds only have a meaning based through the blood, amen, which speaks today. And then we learned in Hebrews 5:7 that Jesus, Yeshua Himself, He cried out with strong crying and prayer and tears. We're probably going to go over that again. When He needed something from the Father. And it says He was heard. So He did it Himself. And then we also learned, and we did a long study on the groanings, Romans 8:26, that the Spirit of God, He intercedes through us, with us, in connection. He hooks up with our spirit and helps us, it says, with groanings. These are a sound which is not in a specific language. And it was just like we learned that the Hebrew children, they groaned, and when they groaned, they cried out to God. They were heard, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and He came and delivered. So tonight, or today, and if you're watching, it could be morning, we are going to learn about a very, very powerful type of prayer called travail. It's actually one of my favorite things to teach on, and I believe God's going to give you some revelation. And I release my faith, and I want you to release your faith that are watching, that are listening, that revelation from heaven is going to come to you as we learn about this subject. Now, the word travail, T-R-A-V-A-I-L, travail, it brings the will of God from heaven to earth. This word, travail, it means to bring forth. That's what it means. To bring forth. To birth in. Now that's important for you to know. In fact, I'm going to write that on the blackboard, on the board here, travail. It means to bring forth, to birth in, Ladies, those of you that have had children, you will understand what I mean tonight. And men, if you think you can't travail, watch what the Bible says, all right? And this type of prayer, as I said, what it does is it brings the will of God from heaven to earth. And that's something you must remember, bringing the will of God from heaven to earth. Nothing takes place, as we've already learned, unless prayer has gone forth. Someone has to pray into manifestation everything that goes on in this earth. Now let's look at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1. You're going to see something very interesting here. Genesis chapter 1. We see in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Verse 2. "And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now I want you to underline, circle, whatever you need to do on the word moved. That's a key word here. The word moved, and I'm going to give you the interpretation of that in the original Hebrew. Okay? Now, this word moved in Hebrew is rachaf. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correct. It's R-A-C-H-A-P-H, the transliteration spelling. Now, you don't really need to know that unless you want to, but you need to know what it means. The word moved here means hovered, to move gently, to cherish, and to brood. B-R-O-O-D. That's like a bird. The brooding of a bird. Brood. To hover. The word hovering or hover is the key meaning here. So you might say the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the waters. Now, we see here that the Spirit of God himself was doing something. Now, the earth was not created yet. It was void, it says. It was pretty much darkness. There was nothing there. And the Spirit of God himself began to hover. He began to do something. Now, I began to do a study on the word hover a while back, and this is what I'm going to give you some meaning that it has. If you look up the word hover in the Webster's Dictionary, it means to hang, fluttering in the air or on a wing, to remain floating or suspended about or over a place or object, to move to and fro watchfully. So there is a movement connected with hovering. That's why it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now basically, what was happening here? Well, let's get a little deeper into this. It also means to flutter the wings so as to remain suspended in the air. To brood like a hen broods over her chicks. If you've ever seen that, when a hen broods over her chicks, she actually makes noise. She makes like a funny noise, you know? And if you see fluttering, hovering, wings of a bird hovering, if you get close enough, you will hear something happening in the air. All right? Now, we need to understand that this God, everything he says, has a great meaning. And I continue to look up the word flutter. I'm just giving you some deeper meaning on this. It means to move or flap the wings rapidly. It's kind of what I just said to you. To move with quick vibrations. To move agitatedly. To be in a state of trembling agitation, a quake, a quiver, a vibration. And that's all noises. Do you realize that? Everything I'm talking about has to do with noises. And the brooding, which I talked about with, has to do with a chick and the eggs, means a bird covering the young with wings, warm, protected with the body, a cherishing over this egg. That means there's a great love there, all right? A great love, a hovering over this egg. So, When we take all this into consideration, and we go back and look at verse 2, it says, "And the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the waters." The Spirit of God was cherishing, loving, caring, and travailing for the earth to be formed. Basically, before the Spirit of God spoke, because you see that the next sentence says, "And God said, let there be light." And every time you hear a teaching, you always hear the earth was created by the spoken word. But before the spoken word took place, there was prayer that took place. There was a travail. There was a movement that the Spirit of God did over the earth, because the Spirit of God loved the earth so much, cared so much, that this sound began to come from the Spirit of God, which is travail. And what does travail mean? To bring forth, to birth in, it means also. To birth in. That's probably, I should put that on the blackboard here. To birth in. So what was the Spirit of God doing? He was birthing in the creation of the earth. Amen? And then God said, let there be light, and so forth. And then he creates all the other things that he created. Now, let's just look at something really powerful here. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. Doesn't matter what version, it's going to be pretty similar. I've looked it up in a couple of different versions, including my Stone's Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible. And we're going to read chapter 32, verses 9 to 13. And this is talking about Israel and the Jewish people. "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob, Israel, is the lot of his inheritance." Now, right here tells you, somebody says to you, the Jewish people have nothing to do anymore, God's forsaken them, forget it. Right here, he is telling you that the Jewish people, Israel, is his portion, it's God's, all right? Verse 10, "He found him," he's talking about the Jewish people, "in a desert land, in the howling void of the wilderness. He kept circling around him," him meaning the people, "he scanned him penetratingly, he kept him as the pupil of his eye," or you might have the apple of his eye. Now, if the apple or the pupil of God's eye is the center of his heart. He was circling around the people of Israel. Verse 11, "As an eagle that stirs up her nest," now here we are, we just studied about the bird, right? Watching over the nest that flutters over her young. Underline the word flutters. The word flutters here is the same word as hovering that we just studied in Genesis 1:2. So you could say, as an eagle that stirs up her nest that hovers over her young, "he spread abroad his wings and he took them, he bore them on his pinions. So the Lord alone led him. There was no foreign God with him. He made Israel ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the increase of the field and made him suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock." Verse 11 is a key verse. And this is the exact same word that's in the Stone's Tanakh. It's the Hebrew Bible that has some translation in it. And so we have to see here how important Israel and the Jewish people are to God. He hovers over them, and he basically travails in birth for them, as we're going to see tonight, over and over again. Amen? And that's a crucial thing with what's going on. And of course, in the recent events that's been happening, and of course, where you're watching on video or television or on the audio, I don't know what time this is that you're watching this or what nation you're in, but I want to say that at this time it's been very, very serious in Israel. We've had some terrible bombings recently, and I don't know that by the time you see this, it's going to be any different. And I can tell you that God's heart is travailing and hovering over that nation and over the people. Let's look at Isaiah chapter... No, sorry, before we go there, let's go to Luke 13. Let's go to Luke 13. Luke 13, and in verse, I'm in the Amplified also, verse 34. Now this is Yeshua, the Messiah, speaking here as he looks over Israel, over Jerusalem. And he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who continue to kill the prophets and to stone those who are sent to you, how often I have desired and yearned to gather your children together around me as a hen, here we see it again, gathers her young under her wings, but you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, abandoned, left to you, destitute of God's help. And I tell you, you will not see me again until the time comes when you shall say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. And of course, we know that that is the Messiah. And when he comes back, the Jewish people will see him again. They will see the piercing. They will recognize him and they will cry out and repent. And we know that salvation and peace shall come at that time. Until that time, it will not be peace there. You know, we see in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah, it says, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And so Messiah is here describing the same type of travail. He was saying, how often I wanted to gather you like a hen. I wanted to travail over you, and he did. And this is the same instance of the hovering. Now, I'm relating this very much to Israel tonight because I feel this is a very, very important thing for us to understand. But travail is a subject that you can do for your loved ones, that you can do for another nation, for a church. Travailing to birth in could be your ministry. You may be watching and you may be called into the ministry. And I feel encouraged to say those things to you tonight because one of the things that's important is no ministry that you have or a call on, you may have a call to do something, to go someplace, it cannot come forth unless you birth it in first in travail. You must birth in your ministry. If you don't, you are going to get what's called an Ishmael. What is an Ishmael? He came before Isaac, and that's the trouble we have today because we have to wait on God. Ishmael was the son that was not born out of the spirit. It was born out of man's flesh. And when we don't birth in a ministry, when we don't spend the time in prayer and at the same time learn to serve in another ministry or even grow your ministry out of that, we get an Ishmael instead of the true Isaac. So I want to encourage those of you that are here in class and those of you that are watching or listening that if you're called into ministry, fivefold ministry, that you birth in, you begin to cry out to God for the ministry that God has for you. Amen? And then it will come to pass at the right time. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. And I'm back in the King James now. And this is a very interesting scripture. It's talking here also about Israel as a nation, but we can talk about it also in terms of travail. And chapter 66, verse 7 and 8. It says, Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. The word Zion is Israel. Don't let anyone say to you that it means the church. It is not the church. It means Israel and the Jewish people. All right? If you want to use the scripture for yourself, that's fine. But then please put it back where it belongs. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, This is actually talking about May 1948, which this prophecy has already come to pass, when the nation of Israel came forth in one day and they reinstated, or they made the nation of Israel in 1948. Now, it didn't just happen, though, without travail. We are deceiving ourselves if we think that it doesn't mean that, because it's saying that she came forth as soon as she travailed. Well, I can tell you that travail or prayer or crying out, that happened for hundreds and thousands of years if you study the Word of God about the nation of Israel, for it to be birthed and for the Israelites to be able to go back to their land and have their original land. It wasn't something that just happened and nobody prayed. Many, many people travailed. We studied even in another class about Rees Howe, and I told you he is a powerful intercessor. He's went on to be with the Lord. And they prayed for Israel to be a nation and a state. So we must understand that without this kind of travailing prayer, things do not happen. Now, this word travail here is a different, it means the same, but it has some other meanings attached to it, which are very interesting. It is the Hebrew word Kheel, K-H-E-E-L. That's the transliteration of spelling, K-H-E-E-L. It also means to bring forth, the same as we saw before. It means to bear in birthing. It also means to drive away demonic spirits, driving away. I mean, I'm saying demonic, it doesn't say it, but I know when you're driving something away, it's not from God. It also means to writhe in pain, which really, they describe it as a process of giving birth to offspring. When you know, when there's pain, sometimes you double over, you know, to writhe in pain. But one of the most interesting meanings of this scripture that you do not see done very often, but we do, praise God, have it here in our congregation, in our worship center, it means to twist, to whirl in a spiral or circular manner, to dance. To twist or whirl in a spiral or circular manner, or to dance. And this is a very, very unusual type of dance. It is a prophetic dance. I have done it myself, and I have seen others do it. There's a couple that people that are, one person in our congregation in particular I know has done it. And I've seen many different people do it at different instances by the Spirit of God. And many times a spinning will happen that's so fast that it's not even possible for you to do it in the natural. A person will just begin to spin. And what that person is doing is they are travailing or bringing forth something from heaven to earth for that meeting. They are bringing it forth. This is one of the sections of dance that people do not understand. That you actually, in dance, can bring forth this travail and usher in the spiritual climate from heaven to earth in a meeting. Now, that doesn't mean you just get up there and start turning, okay? It means you have to know by the Spirit of God that you have that. And it's a gift. Not everybody has it. And that's not important that everybody has to have it. But those that have it, it's a prophetic gift. And it's a very important gift in the body of Messiah. Amen? Amen. I know there's one man in particular in our congregation who has that gift. All right? So it's not just for women. It can be for men too. Say, oh, dance is just for women. Baloney. All right? So that's important that we see that this is another area of bringing forth. Travail again means to bring forth from heaven to earth. All right? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 42. Now we're going to be studying on this chapter in some of these verses in depth in spiritual warfare classes, which are coming up. But right now we're going to look at the travail. And in Isaiah 42, verse 13 and 14. I love these verses. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have a long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. Does that sound like some mealy mouse Messiah? You know, that we see, oh, hanging on the cross in these religious places? Or, shh, quiet? I don't think so. We're going to study on a lot of these words in the, as I said, in the classes that are coming. But let's, in verse 14, the word cry means to gasp, to pant, to groan. And the word travail is to bring forth. And he is saying, I've had enough. I am going to be doing some heavy-duty stuff here. And we're going to learn some of the other words that are really powerful words in spiritual warfare. But today, just let's look at this in travail. When you read the rest of Isaiah 42, which you can do on your own, I encourage you to do that through the end. It talks very much here about how when this happens, the blindness on Israel, the blindness on the Jewish people, they have a blindness. And what happens is God is praying so the blindness will come off. Because he says here in verse 19 or verse 18, hear you deaf and look blind that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf is my messenger that I sent? Who is blind? And he goes on and talks about how they can't see the things. The people are robbed. They're snared in holes and all this kind of thing. They are hid in prison houses. Well, right now, they are hidden in prison houses. Why? Their houses are like prisons. They're afraid to go in the streets of Jerusalem. Afraid to walk in the streets of Israel, that they would be blown up. We are living in the day of prophecy. And we as intercessors must travail. We must give birth so that the Lord can come back and come back to his land and his people. God calls us, if we are believers in the body of Messiah, to stand in the gap for his people. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's waiting for us to do our work here on the earth. That's why it's so grievous when churches and congregations, they really don't care about Israel. They really don't care what happens there. But they want revival. They want Jesus to come back. But they don't realize that there are 700 scriptures that say if the Jews don't go back to Israel, if they don't go back, Messiah can't come back. And so they're not going to go back because they don't really feel like going back. So who's going to start praying for them to go back? Well, you know what? It's called you and me taking our place. And most congregations, churches, and if you're watching on video or on audio, I would encourage you, if you are not in a place that loves Israel, or you don't even know if they love Israel, you need to find out. You need to find out. Because if they don't have a heart for Israel, the leadership where you're going, then it might be time for you to move on and find the right place, to find the heart of God's heart. Because that is a key to the end time and to revival. We will not see revival in the earth unless we gear also in to Israel. Yes, we have to pray for the lost. Yes, we should travail for the lost. Yes, yes, yes. But we must not forget God's heart. And that's all part of the keys. Let's look at Jeremiah 30. So then a lot of men said to me over the years, well, that's a women's thing, travail, like I said before. You know, women give birth and men don't give birth. So I don't need to do this. Well, pooey on you, that's not true. It's a new word. Jeremiah 30 and verse 6. All you men, you need to really circle this up here. Verse 6 says, ask ye now and see whether a man does travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Well, obviously, right here you can see a man travails, and you can see also a little bit of what travail looks like. When you begin to go into intercession, you feel the pains. It's like a birth pain, and you might double over. It says every man has his hands on his loins, and it's like a birthing. And that happens. That has happened to many of our men in our prayer meetings, that they've even had to, they've got to go down to the floor because they were praying so strong and so hard in the Spirit. It just led them to do that. Let's look at Isaiah 21. Give you a few more scriptures on this. Isaiah 21 and in verse 3. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold upon me, as the pangs of a woman that travails. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. Here again, you see what travail looks like in the natural. And why is this happening? Because obviously, and I assume here it's Isaiah speaking, that whatever he heard devastated him spiritually. It was so terrible that he began to cry out for that situation. And remember, the intercessor must associate with the need. Have compassion. So he was associating, and he bent over to, because he couldn't stand what he felt. As I was preparing today for these classes, and I felt very much led to read some things in the Jerusalem Post, I couldn't even finish preparing, and I was down on the floor writhing with pain and weeping and crying out. And I'm going to be sharing some of that with you. I don't know if we will have time on the video or on the audio, but in the classes here. You see, when you see the natural circumstances, like when you watch things on TV or hear it, if you get so callous, and I'm going to talk about that, I don't want to get ahead of myself in the weepings, but if it doesn't affect you somewhere, I'm not saying that every single thing, but you must be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Perhaps you are the one that's to pray, you know? And you might be one of the ones, the key ones, that are going to help that situation. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We look at this in the New Testament. And Paul is speaking here in Romans chapter 8, verse 22. He says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now." Now, what we see here actually is having birth pangs simultaneously together, almost like a concert. And if you are in prayer meetings where the Spirit of God is moving, and we've had that happen here, many times the company of people will begin to travail and cry out at the same time. But the creation is actually doing that. Crying out for what? For the Spirit of God to manifest himself so that Jesus will come back and there's not so much devastation in the earth. Amen? Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. And we see Paul, he's speaking here about, remember these letters, these are all letters written to different churches. Churches are peoples. The Galatian church, or the people of Galatia, right? So he's saying in verse 19, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ," that means the anointed one of his anointing, "be formed in you." Paul interceded and travailed, he says, in birth again. So obviously he did this kind of prayer many times for these people, praying that the anointing would be formed in them on a stronger level over and over again. Now, when you travail or when you pray these kinds of heavy-duty prayers of intercession, the groanings, the travail, the weepings, and there's other sounds too that we're not going to be going in depth into. You know, the enemy, the devil, will try to come immediately to steal what has been birthed in. You must watch when you're birthing in something and praying that the enemy doesn't come right away to take it away, because that's his plan. He says it comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Go to Revelation chapter 12. So how do you guard that? Well, you guard it with your faith. You stand in your place. You don't get come out of it. Revelation chapter 12 and in verse 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. That is right there a scripture that shows you that as soon as something's birthed in, the enemy's standing right there to devour it. Okay? And we must remember that. And if we recall, always I say this, that when in a ministry or in a child's life, or let's say a believer, someone's a new believer, the first 2 years is the most crucial. Because that's when the enemy will try to take you out, or take out the ministry, or take out that believer. The first 2 years, if you remember, Yeshua was born, they tried to kill the children, those that were two and under. When Moses was born, they tried to kill the children that were young. So you must remember that. The enemy comes always to steal it, all right? So when someone's a young believer, they're not strong enough in the things of God. We that are stronger need to carry them and help them through it. That's our job. We're to be watchmen, right? On the wall, making the watch strong, setting up the ambushes. Well, the ambushes come to new believers. I've seen many new believers taken out because they had nobody that was setting up the ambushes to take away the warfare that comes from the world system. So that's very important that we all remember that in terms of what God calls us to do. Revelation 18. Now, of course, Revelation has many meanings. I'm not teaching on Revelations, but I'm just pointing out some scriptures in relation to travail and to prayer tonight. Verses 2 to 4. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and has become a habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Well, basically, coming out of Babylon is the world system, and we're all to come out of those things. We're to get rid of the things that are in us that are not right. But also, one of the main things that holds back the Jewish people, especially in the area of America, in the West here, is Babylon, is the world system. It has a stronghold on them because they live a good life here. And God is saying, come out from it. And until that stronghold is crushed, and until something changes, many of the Jewish people from the West will not go back to Zion, will not go back to Israel. And we will study a little more on this in spiritual warfare prayer about how we can, besides travail, break the spirits that are holding them back. Because we have the authority to do that. Now, so in travail, we must again remember, it is birthing in the will of God, bringing the things from heaven into the earth, okay? And, you know, Jesus told us, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth. Our Father that is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, there are scriptures that I don't have time to teach on tonight, but one of the things that it says in the Old Testament, it talks about that in order for God's name to be hallowed, in the book of Ezekiel, the Jewish people have to go back to Israel. Then his name will be hallowed. And so if we are going to really birth in the will of God. In fact, let's look there real quick. Go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. In here, it talks about the Jewish people going back to Israel. And God says, I will sanctify, in verse 23, I will sanctify my great name, which is profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, the Jewish people, when they went into the other nations. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. And how is his name going to be sanctified? It says his name will be sanctified. In verse 22, go back up and we can look at this too. He says, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake. So thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So travail brings in the will of God from heaven to earth. Hallowed be God's name from heaven to earth. How? When we travail in birth for the Jewish people to go back to their land. Amen? And that's part of the cry of a believer, to stand in the gap and to do what God has called us to do. And our love for the Jewish people, the apple of God's eye, that should lead us into this type of intercession. Of course, lead it into intercession too, into the people that you love and to the lost. But I'm gearing it specifically tonight also for Israel. One thing we got to remember, no one is greater than his prayer life. And so our cry needs to be, God, make me an intercessor. Amen? Help me to have your heart. In these last few minutes, I just want to pray for those that are sitting here and for those that are watching. Father, I pray right now that God, that you would give a heart to everyone in here and for those watching and listening by video and audio, for the apple of your eye for Israel, Lord. A heart for your people. A heart, Lord, to intercede, to pray, to cry out, to travail, to do whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes to hallow your name. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen.